Good afternoon. Today is Thursday, March the 1st, 60th day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon, super pinch hitter for the sheriff who decided he didn't want to show up and inform us, talk to us, recognize our existence, put validity into us. What else can we talk about him?
Oh, he's a super nice guy. he's my boss. I have a lot of respect for him. He called me at 2 o'clock and said, "Hey, what are you doing?" I said, "I'd be honored to show up at 4 o'clock.
Okay, so the honor is all his. He is Wayne Hansen, sergeant for the Humboldt County Sheriff's Department, and he has a tough time remembering his name, so it's got police written about 14 different places on his jacket.
Yeah, that's what the sheriff told me, too. Are you the police or the sheriff, or who are you? But, the interim commander at the Humboldt County Drug Task Force, because the state, due to budget cuts, had to pull out their agent who ran Drug Task Force for many years.
So not only did you say yes to them and not realize everybody else stepped back, you said yes to the sheriff when he called because everybody else had stepped back.
Correct.
Okay, slow-footed Wayne Hansen when we come back.
I'm Jim Mongi, principal of St. Mary's Catholic School and Preschool. Our preschool program is designed to teach and model basic educational and social skills that children will need for success in kindergarten. Students learn about numbers, shapes, and colors. They begin pre-reading and writing. They develop problem-solving and sharing skills. They learn that school is fun. St. Mary's Preschool provides the foundation for a lifetime of learning. Give us a call today at 822-3877, license number 125-401-910.
Good afternoon, KINS. News and information time is 4:16. Well, you checking your watch on me?
Yes, I am.
How close were we?
My watch says actually 4:17, so you're almost on the mark.
Oh, see that one?
Oh, it's off by 30 seconds.
Well, you're going to take that up with Aaron. I trust Aaron with everything.
Yes.
Yeah, that one went really far too, didn't it? Our quote this afternoon comes from Thomas Carlyle, who said, quote, "The king is the man who can."
Interesting.
Yeah, there's about 15 different answers on that one, isn't there?
Yes.
So, Wayne, being in charge of the Drug Task Force unit, you go back a little bit, we go back a little bit. How does it compare to, like, camp? How does it compare to the early stages of drug enforcement in Humboldt County, like in the 70s when everything kind of started? And, well, I guess I get somewhere around there is when Gary Philp started doing some of the stuff too. How has it changed over the last few decades?
Well, the last few decades, I mean, CAMP, Campaign Against Marijuana, it started in approximately 1983 because of all the homicides Humboldt County was having in Mendocino County and Trinity County, Emerald Triangle, and the counties needed assistance, manpower, and the state formed CAMP. And that's how that started with the outdoor marijuana planting. And then fast forward to 2012, because marijuana is easily detected from the air, starting in the mid-90s, everybody started growing indoors. And that's what we're dealing with in 2012, is indoor marijuana grows. You have two types, in residential using electricity, then the rural area, they use diesel generators for the electrical power, which causes environmental health issues with the oil and the diesel that's spilt on the ground, which goes into the watershed. That example.
When did it become tough to access PG&E records?
Well, PG&E records to this day, it requires a search warrant.
And early on, it was the same way?
It's always been you need a search warrant of PG&E records. PG&E records is just like to get a search warrant to get in somebody's house, a simple smell of green marijuana. If you can prove it came from 1234 Smith Lane, you know that smell is coming from that house, and you hear like fans running or the humming of Bellis, you can get a search warrant to get in there. You don't need PG&E records.
Oh, really? So just something like that is enough for probable cause?
Correct. It's pretty simple.
The spinning meter?
The spinning meter would be additional probable cause if you can see it from a legal place on the property. But majority of our warrants is strictly on the smell of marijuana coming from a structure.
It's always been intriguing to me why folks who are so inclined don't also have fragrances?
Well,
and something to neutralize. I know it's overpowering, but let's have an ongoing barbecue. I mean, you know, something that would just diffuse it or confuse it enough so that it wouldn't be as pungent as what it seems to be when, you know, I mean, there are some neighborhoods you can drive by and the car picks it up.
Well, absolutely. We had a case about 2 months ago, one of our deputies in Garverville, just on routine patrol, stopped at a stop sign and the truck passes in with a trailer, an enclosed trailer, and he doesn't smell marijuana, and the truck drives by and he smells marijuana. So he stops the truck and trailer and it's full of marijuana. That's a typical case. It's so blatant, it's everywhere. But yeah, I agree, the disguise the smell somehow, but it's so pungent, it's almost impossible.
Yeah, it might be really tough to do.
Yeah, I mean, people vent, they use carbon filters, and people try to vent out of the chimneys. Down in the Garverville area, sometimes people actually kill skunks and try to tie them up because skunk smells similar to marijuana, trying to disguise it that way, too.
Gee, I guess I've never run over a marijuana plant before. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 421. Really, skunks the same as...
It skunks more stronger than marijuana itself.
Okay. We'll be back with more from Wayne Hansen.
Hi, this is Eric from Northwood Chevrolet Hyundai. You know, I think a lot of people forget that we have a great selection of used cars available. We might not have the inventory that some of the larger dealerships do, but I know our quality used cars stack up against anybody else's in the county. Plus the fact, if we don't have something on our lot, come on in, see us, and we can probably find it for you. We have a quality selection of some very nice used cars, what most people were looking for. But again, if we don't have it on our lot, we can probably find it for you at Northwood Chevrolet Hyundai.
Hi, my name is Mark Diaz from Northwood Hyundai, and I invite you to come down. We're open from 8:30 in the morning till 6 o'clock at night for your shopping convenience. Closed Sundays to be with family. And as my dad used to say, don't bring much money, you won't need it. That's Northwood Hyundai, 7th and D, Eureka.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 425. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Mr. Sergeant, police guy.
Yeah, police guy,
sheriff.
Why
doesn't it say sheriff? Why does it say police? Is that just kind of
common? Well, the task force.
Well, I see on the shoulder it says.
On the left shoulder says Humboldt County Drug Task Force. The right shoulder says... Humboldt Sheriff, I guess I have identity crisis, but
on the front it says "Don't screw with me."
Yeah, it says police. It says police.
Is that so it's easy to identify you from
right,
all the angles?
When you go in a house, there's no mistake to the people that we are the police, and then it's kind of silly. Like so, the sheriff was making fun of me the other day about who am I, the sheriff or the police?
Well, you know, Wayne, you don't want to get too close to the fire department because they've got the double ID going on too with the Humboldt Bay District, or is it Eureka Fire, or is it Humboldt Fire District number 1?
Right.
Ken's got three patches on, too. So.
I'm a fireman, I guess the sheriff. I'm a policeman.
That'll instill a lot of fear in people. So it seems like there has been a, I don't know if rash is too strong a term, but an awful lot of activity for you and the gang in the last 2-3 weeks or so. I mean, it used to be harvest season. Now with the indoor grows, there really is no harvest season. What's going on? Why are you guys so busy all of a sudden?
Well, it seems like it's all of a sudden, but it's the harvest season you're talking about is when people grow outdoors and they harvest in October, and here we are March the 1st, is everybody does the indoor scene now because they can do 3 crops a year, and it's just... We have so much intelligence that comes into the drug task force, we go after the commercial grower, and it just so happens this week we've hit 3, well, including last week on Friday, 3 large commercial marijuana growers, and before I came here today at 2 o'clock, I was at another place in Blue Lake where the gentleman was arrested about 3 weeks ago in Utah with 49 pounds. Marijuana. So they called us, and we went to his house today on a rollover search warrant, and he's got about 6 pounds of marijuana left there and $30,000 in cash. Yesterday, we're doing a case. It turned into 4,000 marijuana plants up on Greenwood Heights with about 110 one-pound bags of processed marijuana and $430,000 in cash in a gentleman's house. The day before, we're in timber company property up in the northern part of the county. It was a diesel marijuana grow indoors. People from out of the area constructed a building on timber company property to grow marijuana indoors with diesel generators providing electrical power. But there's literally hundreds or thousands of these things in the county.
It's, for me, it would be stunning to see, I mean, $30,000 in cash just sitting there.
Well, I mean, yesterday.
Then you see the big pile that you referenced for yesterday.
Oh, yeah. It stunned me. I mean, yesterday, it was kind of like we all looked at it and go, that's a lot of money. And then we were starting to guess, looking at it, is that $100,000, $200,000, $300,000, $400,000? And it turned out it was $430,000. So it's kind of like, it boggles the mind, because I would get nervous having $1,000 in my dresser versus having $430,000 sitting in my bedroom, not even in a safe.
I suppose it's really wise to have a whole bunch of guys there looking at it at the same time.
Yeah.
And if it was guy one, yeah, he's the only guy there, and you see $440,000, $450,000, I don't know how many folks would be able to avoid the temptation.
Urban, our unit, are extremely trustworthy, and we have checks and balances. Like yesterday, the agent that found the money goes, hey, boss, come upstairs. It was upstairs. So pretty soon there was four of us up there. So all four of us are up there. We turned the video camera on. We videotaped the money. We put it in plastic bags, bank bags like you get from Bank of America that you seal. Seal it all up.
Oh, not the deposit bags.
Yeah, not the deposit bags. Not deposit bags. In plastic bags that once you seal it, you have to cut it to get into it. And then I assign two people to drive it to the office. I follow them in a car with somebody else. Those four of us to the office. And all four of us walk into the office. And now we have four people counting the money. That way there's never any accusations that somebody took something. But it does boggle the mind, and we kind of laughed because I consider it like Monopoly money. It's just play money, but it's amazing the amount of cash that you come across.
So before the rumors start, that's not what the sheriff is doing this afternoon. He's counting his money?
I certainly hope not.
Okay.
If he's listening, I think he's relaxing. He's had a long week.
The drug asset forfeiture stuff that really kind of gave you guys a club to be able to use, or maybe to dissuade some folks. When cash like that is found, and it's obviously it's part of this whole equation, do they forfeit the money?
Yeah, what happens on that, like yesterday, the $430,000 plus the money that we've found in his bank accounts, it becomes a separate issue. You have your criminal issue that he's charged with the cultivation of marijuana, and then it becomes a civil issue. The gentleman yesterday, he served asset forfeiture paperwork saying we seized this X amount of money from you. You have a right to file a claim that we seized it. Then he has to go to court to prove where the money came from. And then the district attorney's office will be on court saying, no, it's drug proceeds. And then once it's all settled, it's distributed between the agencies that participated in the seizure.
It's 431.
Now a minute of sunshine for Humboldt. We think of the Coast Guard as being gallant lifesavers, and they are. However, there's another side of the Coast Guard, faceless bureaucrats far away. 3 years ago, one wrote to the Humboldt County Fair Association to say they wanted back the Mendocino Lighthouse lens that's been atop the county fair's main entrance for 63 years. The fair offered to build a new building for the lens. A citizen group, Save Our Lens, began to raise money. Then the Ferndale Museum offered to give the lens a new home. Most letters to the Coast Guard have gone unanswered. 2 weeks ago, though, in an undated letter, the Coast Guard warned Ferndale it would soon send a Lampus to begin removing the lens. They didn't say when he'd arrive or give his name, but we think it's Grinch. In Rome 2,000 years ago, the famous orator Cicero spoke of the arrogance of officialdom. If he were here today, he'd put those Coast Guard bureaucrats in that category. Sunshine for Humboldt is a nonprofit civic association dedicated to the people and places that make this a good place to live.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 4:35. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Sergeant Wayne Hansen from the Humboldt County Sheriff's Department / the Drug Task Force. Wayne, you guys have been particularly active with this stuff coming together. During the break, you were talking about Mondays. Mondays hit.
Correct.
Tuesdays, Wednesdays, this morning's, this afternoon's. Is it a daily occurrence?
Yes. Drug Task Force, we work generally Monday through Friday. And we plan generally search warrants each day. We're subject to call out in the middle of the night if patrol officers from any other agency like California Highway Patrol, Eureka, Fortuna, Arcata stop a car and they've got drugs and cash aboard. I get a call, send two agents to do an investigation, but it's constant, nonstop work, business, very busy.
Is it, it's like fishing in a barrel? Is it that easy?
Yes. it's almost comical. I mean, there's 130,000 people live in Humboldt County, and some of our investigations are in-depth, you know, to get enough information to get probable cause to go after the big fish in the barrel. But there are so many other little fish that are so blatant, it's comical how we catch them. It's just like, for example, 2 weeks ago, a guy goes to St. Louis, Missouri. The same day he comes back from St. Louis, Missouri, so he gets profiled on the train, and law enforcement and Truckee say, hey, can we talk to you? You might be looking in your duffel bags. And he says, go ahead. They open the duffel bag, and he's got $79,000 in cash. They call us. We go
Nice trip, huh?
Yeah, nice trip. What are you doing in St. Louis? And we run to his house in Arcata to find out what's going on in Arcata, smell marijuana, lock it down, and there's another $50,000 in cash there and about 6 pounds of processed marijuana.
Duffel bag of money?
Yes, $79,000 worth. I mean, it's like the case we're talking about, $430,000 in your bedroom in cash, and I think it's acceptable, so people do it because they think it's okay to do.
I guess there's just a lot of us that are sheltered.
Yeah.
You think about who is stupid enough not to. I mean, it kind of seems almost that way. You know, you're struggling doing it by the rules.
Right.
And I mean, if it's that prevalent and the return is that high,
I mean, how
crazy are we not to be?
Well, I mean, for example, on Friday, we get some information and we end up Freshwater Road at about 5 o'clock in the evening on Friday. And it turns out where we're at, the guy's a local realtor. And the realtor business we know is in the dumps and he's buying houses. And lo and behold, this realtor is growing marijuana, trying to make ends meet. So we take the realtor to jail and his wife because he's John Q. Citizen. He looks like, you know, like the Marlboro man. He's not the guy that's wearing the dreadlocks, the stereotypical hippie. It's a professional businessman. And that's what it's evolved to in 2012.
So how jaundiced have you become?
example, last week I was doing yard work. I live in Fortuna, and somebody's growing marijuana in my neighborhood. And I'm trying to figure out who is. It's in everybody's neighborhood. It's I guess it's acceptable these days, and because of the economy and the county and the nation.
And there's a confusion I think a lot of us have. You've got the medicinal marijuana, and I guess that's okay to be blatant and grow it like in the backyard along with the corn?
Correct.
Two or three plants?
Correct.
No big deal? Okay, well, so what's the distinction between three plants and four? Or five? Or six? You know, along that continuum up to the point where you look around, you know, yeah, I can do this in throw the ethics aside for a moment and supplement or really develop an income stream, either for retirement or for whatever else you want to do.
Yeah, I mean, it's my analogy. I mean, it's simple. It happened since the Roman days. It's happened in the gold rush of 1849. People get greedy. They start off growing marijuana for legitimate medical marijuana, and we walk away from medical marijuana grows all the time. Don't arrest anybody. Don't take their plants. But people get greedy because it's money, and then they get it out of control and becomes pure profit for them. It becomes their lifestyle, their way of living.
You get accustomed to it.
Yes.
When you guys go out and you're doing your runs, what percentage are marijuana related? What percent is meth? What percent is the other stuff?
At Humboldt County Drug Task Force, the information that we receive, and we get information. We work methamphetamine cases, we work heroin cases, we work LSD cases, ecstasy. But about 80% of the information coming in is marijuana, and we're trying to help the people, because when the people are calling and they're concerned about their safety in their neighborhoods, that there's a lot of home invasion robberies, there's a lot of homicides involved in marijuana. So with that in mind, we're Drug Task Force handles every type of drug, but because marijuana is so prevalent in Humboldt County, it seems like we do a lot of marijuana cases, but we also do the other cases too.
Would you ever agree with the statement that marijuana is victimless? Marijuana growing?
I would say, that you could debate that for...
I know, that's why I'm lobbing it out.
Yeah, you could debate it for a long
it's
time.
It's called chumming, Wayne.
Yeah. You could debate that till the cows come back into the pasture. It leads to... I see it. It leads to violence. It leads to greed. It leads to home invasion robberies. It leads, because before I went to Drug Task Force, I worked homicides, and about half our homicides are marijuana related. It leads to that type of violence because of the money associated with it. Like, example, somebody robs a gas station for $500, or the gentleman that's up in Greenwood Heights has $400,000 in cash sitting in a house with his wife and four small children, and that's not too bright. Say it's victimless, I think it's extremely dangerous to grow marijuana, because we have people come up from Alameda, out of the area, targeting people to rip them off.
We probably ought to take a break. Pursue that when we come back. KINS, News and Information Times 4:42. We'll be back with more from Wayne Hansen.
The flame of learning is lit daily at St. Bernard's.
Hi, this is Craig Brown, Dean of Students and Campus Ministry at St. Bernard's Catholic School. We're praying in these days how we can create an even more definite presence of Christ in the world around us. We pray we all have an opportunity to stop the rush of this time of year to give profound thanks for the many blessings our Lord has showered on us.
St. Bernard's High School and Elementary School, making a difference in lives for today and tomorrow.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 4:46. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Sergeant Wayne Hansen from the Humboldt County Drug Task Force. Wayne, as we were talking going into the break, how much out-of-area influence is there in this? Because I think there's two schools of thought. There's the guy or the gal, a little bit on the side, okay, no big deal. Kind of, and I think that's where the DA's office comes from.
Correct.
No big deal. And then you got either the stereotypical from the 70s and the 80s, the bungee tiger pit sticks and booby traps and trip lines, guns, automatic weaponry, non-Americans, mafia overtones, pick your favorite country, et cetera, et cetera. Do both exist at the same time?
Yes. I mean, in Humboldt County, we've got... We call them DTOs, drug trafficking organizations, whether or not they're Hispanic or Asian or Caucasian or Bulgarian. Humboldt County has become a melting pot of people. I mean, routinely, we have our local marijuana growers, but people from 1849, the gold rush, people migrate to Humboldt County or California to grow marijuana. So we have people here from Utah, Michigan, St. Louis, all parts of the country, because California is a liberal state and the punishment for growing marijuana is not as severe as it would be, you know, back east where they'd throw the key away. So they come out here to make their fortunes. And so we have our locals growing, and then we have our Mexican nationals growing in our forest. And then we have Bulgarians, we have Asians. I mean, not picking on any typical race of person, but you name it, and they come to Humboldt County to make their fortunes.
You know, 5 years to get your retirement taken care of.
Yeah.
So to speak. As you look at it today, is it worth pursuing? Would legalization of marijuana, decriminalization, whatever the magic phrase is, would that take a lot of the heavy-dutiness out of this?
It would, but it's a paradox. If you legalized it in California, it would make things 100 times worse. Then you'd have the other people from the other 49 states come to California to grow. If it became legalized, you'd have to do it in all 50 states. You know, the U.S. government would have to do it. If it was just
if it was federally legalized or decriminalized.
Right. The violence would go away. But it's a simple philosophy, too. I mean, society basically can't handle alcohol. How many drunk drivers you have out there. You can imagine if marijuana is legalized, how many people that be smoking marijuana there already are would multiply driving motor vehicles around and then at the workplace. But back to your question, to legalize it has to be in all 50 states, or California would be even worse because people would be migrating even more here to make their fortunes.
If it was legalized, but it was also regulated, so it became a taxable transaction. It became something that had to be registered. You know, kind of like, think of wineries.
Right.
Would that help to reduce the flow, do you think? Or would that just be kind of a nuisance on the side? Get out of my way. I'm going to go out there and do what I need to do.
Well, I mean, you could say, I mean, because marijuana, the market's flooded. At its high peak, it was $3,500 a pound. Now I'm hearing it's down to $1,500 a pound. But it became legalized. And I still to this day laugh, why would somebody would pay $1,500 for a turkey bag full of some herbs? But if they did legalize it, it wouldn't be worth $1,500 a pound. It'd be worth what tobacco's worth. So people wouldn't be making money growing marijuana. And the states and the counties wouldn't be making a lot of money on it.
Well, stay safe, buddy.
Yeah.
We've been talking shop this afternoon with Wayne Hansen. Join us tomorrow afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Hug some of you. See you tomorrow.